Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, or saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers and all children of God who attend the worship online, this is the 73rd lecture on Genesis. In the last lecture, you saw that Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. By eating from the tree, they disobeyed the order of God. They committed the sin of the disobedience. As a result, the work of the soul, which belongs to the flesh, began to take place. That is, the flesh thoughts began to work. Due to this fleshly thought, Adam and Eve gradually fell deeper and deeper into the flesh, and their relationship with God the Father wasn't like before. So let's take a look at the scripture one verse at a time. You can find the description in the cool of the day in the Genesis chapter 3:8. It may help you understand the time flow of the Garden of Eden. Let's say Korean says, right now the wind is getting quite cold in the evening. Then you can easily guess what season it is now, can't you? You can simply guess it's the late summer is over and it's close to autumn. Likewise, the descriptions in cool of day helps you understand the weather changing in the Garden of Eden. There's no clear distinction between morning and evening because there's no sun in the Garden of Eden, but there are times when it's cool. First off, something is cool, has a temperature which is lower and moderately cold in a pleasant way, but not too low. Being cool in the Garden of Eden is, however, somewhat different. It rather refers to the state when you can feel comfortable as the gentle and the soft breezes blow. The coolness there refers to a state of feeling more comfortable with a warm breeze. It's not kind of a chilly. In the Garden of Eden, change of the temperature does exist. The temperature goes up and down. Unlike summer or winter of this earth, however, it doesn't become really hot or very cold. The weather in the Garden of Eden is always maintained in the most comfortably for man to live in. Temperature, humidity, wind, and so on are all conditions are in harmony to make the best weather. Within a certain range, temperature goes up or comes down a little bit. When the temperature goes up, it feels warm, and when the temperature comes down, it feels cool. It doesn't mean it's too hot or uncomfortable. This change in temperature is periodic. It helps people recognize a time flow. There's no night in the Garden of Eden. Since it's covered by the light of God the Father, there's only day. Therefore, the periodic change of a temperature determines the passage of a time. At certain times, the people in the Garden of Eden move actively, and at some other time, they rest. It just says we work during the day and sleep at night. I'm not describing the heaven right now, but the Garden of Eden, when the sun goes down and it becomes dark, we know that the time is to take a rest. The people in the Garden of Eden know that it's time to take a rest when it becomes cool. Therefore, the time background of tonight's scripture is evening. You now see that time flow, weather change, and many other things in the Garden of Eden are different from the earth. Your brothers and sisters, now Genesis chapter 3:8 mentions about the Lord God walking in the garden. Does it mean that God the Father himself came down to the Garden of Eden and walked around at the time? No, it doesn't mean that. God the Father doesn't like the second heaven much. It's because there's not only Garden of Eden in the second heaven, but there's also the domain of darkness. And the head of the domain is Lucifer. Lucifer used to be loved greatly by God, but later she betrayed God and hurt the heart of the God so much. For this, God the Father avoids coming down to the second heaven. Of course, when he manifested the work of the six-day creation, he himself came down to the first heaven. On the second day, the domain of the darkness was prepared in the second heaven. From the day of the first Lucifer, the evil spirits began to stay in the domain of the darkness in the second heaven. From that time on, God the Father himself hasn't come down to the second heaven. He's usually stayed in the first heaven or the third heaven. Then how could God talk to Adam? How could it possible for him to teach Adam the knowledge of the truth? There was a spiritual tunnel between the second heaven and the first heaven where God the Father dwells. How advanced is wireless communication technology today on Earth? You can even have a live video conference with those who live on the other side of the Earth. The technology of communicating in the spirit world is comparable to that of this world and cannot be imitated. It's very clear and vivid. You might be confused thinking you are talking to the other in the same room. By the way, there was another way God the Father could be with Adam without God himself coming down to the second heaven. That's it. He divided from himself a spiritual entity and sent it. But the Trinity can accomplish the divisions of a spirit. There's one original body, but he can divide it from himself as many entities as he pleases. Regarding the division of a spirit by God the Trinity, I explain it from Genesis chapter 4-11. Now the scripture says that Adam and Eve heard the sounds of the Lord God walking in the garden. It was the entity of God the Father that came down to the Garden of Eden at this moment. A spirit that separates from the original body can go everywhere, and when it returns, it becomes one with the body. What the entity sees or feels is transferred to the original body as it is. The divided spirit as an entity speaks and works the same way the original entity does. Therefore, even though Adam heard the voice of God, the divided entity, he felt it was a voice of original God. By the way, it was also even a rare case for the divided entity of God to come down to the Garden of Eden. But the Father accomplished this division of spirits only on the very special occasions. Therefore, if the divided entity of God the Father comes, it's almost the same as his original entity coming down. The case of tonight's scripture was rather exceptional. Adam and Eve could hear the voice of a God who came down to the Garden of Eden as a divided entity. The Garden of Eden and the third heaven are all part of the spiritual realm, but their levels are different. As the Garden of Eden is an imperfect spiritual realm, the third and the fourth heavens are perfect realms. Nevertheless, the people in the Garden of Eden could see the image of God, divided the entity, and the angels and the cherubim. On this earth, spiritual beings can be only seen with the spiritual eyes open, but in the Garden of Eden, spiritual beings are visible. However, God the Father allowed us to be seen the original light. We can feel heaven by seeing the original light to appear in various shapes as well as in different colors. How thankful you should be. I hope that you will come much closer to God in this work of the God. Now, when God came to the Garden of Eden, How did Adam and Eve react? They used to welcome God with joy and happiness. But now, Genesis chapter 3:8 says, the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Why did they hide themselves? They were no longer confident before God. It was evidence that they themselves recognized that they broke the order of God by committing the sin of disobedience. We broke the order of God. God told us not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but we disobeyed it. They said, they thought, once they realized what they did like this, darkness came upon their hearts. What if God knows about it? They became worried and felt fear. That's why they hid themselves when they heard the sounds of God. Jonah also obeyed God's word, so he ran away and hid in the bottom of the merchant ship. And he fell a deep sleep. Can you avoid God's face by doing that? Moreover, since he obeyed God's command, Jonah could have easily died if he had not been careful. Sins that lead to death bring punishment. Even sins that do not lead to death result in punishment. So, if you haven't been protected, there must be a reason. If God acknowledges you, then when problems arise, your prayer should resolve them. But if your business isn't going well, you've been deceived, or things have gone wrong, there's a reason. The Bible recalls that Prophet Jonah's disobedience to God's command, God told him to go to Nineveh and proclaim the judgment. Jonah refused to obey, so he fled by the completely different route. Jonah chapter 1:3 says, then Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to the Joppa. He was very intentional, and they found the ship going to the Tarshish, and they paid the fare and went abroad and aboard to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But no matter how well a person hides, will God not find him? When you sin, doesn't God know? Even if you sin in the dark of the night, God sees everything. So how can you dare to do it? God saw clearly that Jonah was hiding in the lower deck of the ship. Likewise, those who believe in God tried to avoid God's presence when they disobeyed His word. It means that even if you commit sins, you are not afraid because the consequences for that sins do not come immediately. Some people commit such a sin that leads to death and feel nothing. So you committed this sin too and no punishment came. You committed again and even after a month, 2 months, a year, nothing happened. Now you can sin as you like. However, the retribution for sin does not necessarily come immediately. Whether it's punishment, trials, tribulations, or illness for the sins we've committed, if you are loved by God, the retribution for such a sin usually comes quickly. For some reason, you break the Sabbath and something happens within the week, such as an accident, so you're immediately awakened and you don't sin again. It's because you received love by God the Father. When David sinned, He knew how great his sin was, but he could not overcome his lust. When would the retribution for his sin come? After 1 year? After 2 years? 3 years? 5 years? Or 10 years? Or 15 years? Or 20 years? I was curious. I knew the punishment for David King came long after the sin, over 10 years ago, but I didn't know exactly how many years had passed. That's why I couldn't give a specific years in my sermon. I just knew it came a long time later, but I couldn't pinpoint it. Our church members and the believers also looked it up right away and gave me the answer. So I looked it up online and they said 13 years. That's roughly to the same as it took 12 to 13 years. That's the retribution came 12 or 13 years after David committed adultery and murdered. But you sinned and then nothing comes? If does it come, isn't it death? Since you didn't pay the price for your sin, the result is death, isn't it? If you are loved by God, the book of the Hebrews says, if you don't receive the discipline, you are an illegitimate child. There's no punishment after your sin. You have no relationship with God. It's blessing when discipline comes, because if it doesn't come, it means you're going to hell. If you have committed sin that led to death, discipline must come. Then you will know that I'm loved by God and that He has not yet abandoned you. Therefore, because discipline has come, through this discipline you will thoroughly repent and have faith again to be saved. If you don't, there will be judgment for good and evil, and you will be judged immediately, saying, you have committed that this sin that led to death. You will be condemned to hell. This is because you have not sinned, not been forgiven. So after committing such a sin, if you are struck by the disaster or fatal illness, you can only then repent and confess your sin, cling to God, and receive forgiveness. Even on the day of the judgment, that sin will not be mentioned. So when you committed such a serious sin, it's a blessing for you to come to the pulpit. So people who believe in God like this try to avoid God's face when they disobey His word. It just says the darkness is driven away when the light comes. The darkness hates the light. If someone disobeyed the word of God, he surely was incited by Satan. He was incited by the enemy devil and Satan and obeyed him. To the extent to does the work of the darkness, a spiritual darkness becomes cast over his heart. Such a man like cannot but hide himself before God, who is the light itself. As you stay in the dark place and go outside where the sunlight is bright, you cannot easily open your eyes. By the same token, the more darkness people have in their hearts, and the more they avoid God and the more depart from God. On the contrary, those who live according to the word of God, who is light, are confident before God. They can raise their hands. and look at the sky, raise their hands and pray. They are blameless and can confidently call God the Father. Regarding this, our Jesus said that John chapter 3, 20, 21, "For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will expose. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." In addition, Psalm chapter 11, 7 says, "For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. The upright will behold his face." Let's say your heart is completely free of evil and pure, without blemish or stain. Then wouldn't it be normal to see God as the Bible says? Just because you say you saw God doesn't mean it's a heresy or wrong. It's normal to purify your heart and see God. Not everyone sees it, but those who are pure in heart, those who are free from evil, those who are guests, such a people see God. The children of God should always seek and look for the face of God. You should walk in the light all the time and every place so that you will always be able to communicate with God. Psalm chapter 27, 8 says, "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, O Lord, I shall seek.'" And the Psalm chapter 105, 4 says, "Seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face continually." Those who live in the world and are upright always seek God's face. There's no reason to hide. However, some of you sin today and tomorrow and say, "Father, I have sinned again. Please forgive me." And what to do? What do they say next? They even lie again, saying, "I won't do it again." But then they sin again and they lie in prayer, saying, "I will never sin again." They repeat these steps. Then they sin again the next time. How much more sin will they add to sin and deceive God? Our members will now seek God the Father's grace and His strength with confidence. There must be no one who acts something that makes Father God turn His face away. Are there any who, like Adam, seek to avoid God's presence, distance themselves from the church, and avoid meeting families in faith? Then you should look back how much you disobey the word of God. Those who live by the word of God always want to go to church, which is the temple of God. They also love the shepherd who delivered the word of God, and they want to stay together with the brothers in faith. I hope that all of you will seek the face of God with confidence. So I hope you will enjoy the abundant grace and blessing by having close communion with God like Adam before he sinned.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.